Music by Franz Schubert. We heard the Hungarian Melody in B minor. That was performed at the piano by Andras Schiff here on FM 91. I'm Brad Cresswell, and Listomaniacs, take heart, because we are spending the entire hour today playing the music of Franz Liszt and related composers. And I also have a special guest here with me to help present it. That is Matthew Bengtsson. I got that right. Yes, Matthew?
Perfect.
Yeah, I want to make sure that, you know, I pronounce everybody's name correctly. Get us off to a good start.
Start with mine, and then you can warm up to the Hungarians later.
Yes, exactly. Well, you're my go-to for pronunciation today. Matthew Bengtsson is on faculty at the University of Michigan, a wonderful pianist, also directing the 2021 American Liszt Society Festival. That's happening at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance. It is October 15th through 18th, 2021. Lots of stuff going on. So today we're going to play some of the music that you've chosen for us, Matthew, as well as talk about the activities. Maybe just give us a little encapsulation of what the festival entails, because there's a whole lot of stuff going on.
Yes, indeed. There's a wide range of programming, and Liszt is a starting point, as you mentioned. The American Liszt Society is a national organization, listsociety.net. You can look them up. Fans of Liszt, of course, musicians, academics, musicologists, doctors, you name it, anybody who's an enthusiast. It's a wonderful place to just meet great people and have musical conversation and enjoy the music of Liszt and his unique approach to music making and the meaning of music in people's lives. So the theme of this festival is called Liszt and Hungary. Every festival has a unique jumping off point, mm-hmm. where it starts by exploring some part of Liszt's enormous oeuvre. And so my particular festival then goes on to explore Hungarian composers and music in Hungarian style.
Well, that's wonderful. We should mention, if you don't know, Liszt is spelled L-I-S-Z-T, and that's part of the website URL that you can go to find more information. I'll give you that right now. It's smtd.umich.edu/Liszt. Remember, we spell it L-I-S-Z-T 2021. So smtd.umich.edu/Liszt 2021. We'll say that later in the program as well. You mentioned Liszt as a Hungarian composer and the whole Hungarian ethos kind of permeating what you've chosen for this festival. We're going to listen to a couple of the Hungarian rhapsodies, beginning with Rhapsody number 9, the Carnival of Pest, right, which eventually became Budapest when it combined with Buda.
A grand unification, right?
Yes. That's your history lesson for today.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about these Hungarian rhapsodies, because there are quite a few of them.
Right. There are 19 in total, although they were originally published as a set of 15. And as often happens with Liszt, there are multiple versions of them. We're going to hear mostly the standard versions, although I have encouraged people performing to use unique and creative takes on them, which is what especially the golden generation of pianists used to do when people were trained as composers, that they would insert their own cadenzas or rewrite things here and there. And that was very much what Liszt encouraged, because that's what he heard.
So we hear the Hungarian Rhapsody number 9, also known as the Carnival of Pest, performed at the piano by Zsuzs Csifra here on FM 91. Pianist Zsuzs Csifra with Music of Franz Liszt. We heard the Hungarian Rhapsody number 9, the Carnival of Pest, performed here on FM 91. I'm Brad Cresswell. I've got a special guest during this hour. That is Matthew Bengtson, who is assistant professor of music in piano at the University of Michigan, also the director of the 2021 American Liszt Society Festival at the University of Michigan. So we're playing a lot of music that has been chosen by Matthew today of Liszt and other related composers, exploring the Hungarian roots of Liszt and all the many different connections that exist. This is, as I mentioned, in conjunction with the Liszt Society Festival, which is October 15th through 18th at the University of Michigan. Matthew, you want to give us sort of a little preview of, let's chop it up and take it one day at a time, starting on Friday the 15th. You want to give us a little rundown of what can be had at the festival then?
Absolutely. Well, the festival tees off on Friday, October 15th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Almost all the events in the festival take place in the Moore Music Building, which is on North Campus at the university. So we begin with a film showing of, it's called Piano Lessons, The Life and Art of Germán Díaz Nieto, which is just, you know, freshly about to come off. And Germán Díaz was a protege of Claudio Arrau, mm-hmm. which obviously very strong links to the Liszt tradition, but also an important pedagogue for, you know, many American pianists. And then that evening at 8 o'clock p.m., this is the one event that's not held in the Moore Building. It's at Rackham Auditorium, which is more on the main campus of the university.
Right.
We have our kind of opening concert by a group called, they called themselves the Gypsy Strings with a Z at the end, which is led by a Romani violinist, George Bacci, B-A-T-Y-I. And they're playing, you know, the original style, original instruments, you know, the old fiddle style with the cymbalum,
yeah. And the kind of music that Liszt would have been familiar with himself.
Exactly. Know? Not only Liszt, but you know, Brahms and Schubert and all many other composers who heard this and responded to it very strongly.
Yeah. Very nice. I want to turn it over to some more music here, and this is another great pianist, Vladimir Horowitz, with another one of the Hungarian Rhapsodies. This is the final one, I guess, number 19.
Right.
Right? Yeah. What is the Horowitz connection with Franz Liszt?
Oh, well, I mean, Horowitz was, of course, one of the great Romantic-style pianists, and as I mentioned, somebody who was also trained as a composer, was a very creative musician, and took his own personality into what he did. And this is actually a terrific example of a piece that he somewhat recomposed and made his own version of it that once you've heard it, you know, it's so colorful that
it ruins it for everybody else.
Huh? I guess.
Yeah. Music of Franz Liszt from the pianist Vladimir Horowitz here on FM 91. Hungarian Rhapsody number 19 by Franz Liszt. We heard the pianist Vladimir Horowitz here on FM 91. I'm Brad Cresswell with you for Afternoon Classics, and I have a guest today who's helping me present music by Franz Liszt and related Hungarian-themed composers and pieces of music. That is pianist Matthew Bengtson, who is on faculty at University of Michigan. Matthew, we've been talking about the American Liszt Society Festival, which is happening October 15th through 18th, listening to a lot of Liszt. I guess we're listening, right? If that
yes,
makes sense.
Of course.
It looks better on paper than it sounds on the radio. But let me ask you, kind of put Liszt in context. I mean, you're a pianist. You've obviously played a lot of Liszt. Where does he fall in the whole series of, like, pianist composers, because Liszt did a lot to help create what we think of as a piano recital these days. I mean, let's put him in context with music history.
Well, exactly. in the early 19th century, the you know, the piano had was developing very, very rapidly. I guess I'm holding here in my left hand my cell phone, which is what seems to run all of our lives these days.
Yeah.
And every year, you know, somebody comes out with the latest and greatest kind of cell phone. And in around 1800 and through the early 19th century, everybody was coming up with the latest and greatest new thing of what to do with the piano, because that was, you know, that was what you did
cutting,
in the home.
Cutting edge technology.
Exactly.
At the time, yeah.
That was what was exciting for people. And then along came this, you know, extraordinary technician personality, somebody who, you know, so thoroughly had mastered his craft that he was communicating, you know, exactly the inside content of the music as he felt it at that moment for those people. And he had an extraordinary magnetic connection with the audiences that he carried on until the age of 35, incredibly enough. Now, I'm in my 40s here. I just can't imagine that he just kind of packed his bags and called it quits in his mid-30s, and he decided that he wanted to become just focus on composition. He taught some students, and he just became an extraordinary important persona in the musical world.
Yeah.
As a composer, as an organizer, as an intellectual, and he also went into the ministry.
Well, okay, well, that last part we have to talk about, but we'll do that separately. I mean, I've always felt that Liszt had sort of like the devil and angel on his shoulder. You know, half of his musical output seems to be concerned with heavenly things, and the other half concerned with sort of demonic, devilish things. You know, you think of like his Dies Irae variations and things like that. Franz Liszt, a complicated character, but also the person that we think of as like the very first rock star, you know, of music. And a lot of that happened when he was young, obviously.
When he was young, and I you know, and he played all over the world, in, you know, hundreds of concerts. I mean, an average of more than one concert per day over a period of years. And if you just imagine the, you know, the stress and strain and the perhaps excessive adulation that you would have enough of it after a while.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right about the angels and the devils. That is such a prominent strain. The heaven and hell, you know, is the two viewpoints of his religious world. And another quote that's somewhat less known, but that's so relevant to us here, is he said he was half Franciscan and half gypsy. Also two aspects of his character that were, you know, that he related to and were important to him.
Well, maybe this next piece of music certainly fits what we've been talking about. This is the Chardash Macabre. We all know what macabre is, but what is the Chardash?
All right, the Chardash literally means an inn dance, which is, you know, I-N-N. It's something that it was a social activity. To get a better answer to that, you can attend the festival, and we have a dance demonstration where you'll be shown how to do the Chardash.
Wow.
And how it relates to music as it's performed. Traditionally, there is a slow section and then a fast section.
Well, this, I don't know if this is slow or fast, but probably not advisable to be dancing to at home, yeah?
Well, in this particular piece, the Chardash Macabre, was a rather scandalous piece because of the way it treats tonality. So it's a very good example of Liszt's more radical side.
Okay, well, dance at your own risk. This is music of Franz Liszt, the Chardash Macabre, with pianist John Ogden here on FM 91. We heard the Chardash Macabre by Franz Liszt, performed at the piano by John Ogden. It's Afternoon Classics. I'm Brad Cresswell, and I'm joined in the studio today by pianist Matthew Bengtsson, who is on faculty at University of Michigan. We're talking about all things Franz Liszt and the American Liszt Society Festival, which is happening at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance. More information online at smtd.umich.edu LISZT. That's List 2021. You can find all of the activities, all of the events. We've heard from some events that are not necessarily music related, but are related to List's Hungarian legacy, as well as all connections of other composers as well to the whole world of Franz Liszt. We're going to hear something now, Matthew, that is not by Franz Liszt, and I'm going to let you introduce this entirely because I'm not sure if I can even pronounce the name of this composer I've never heard of before.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we like to do in the Liszt Society, whether it sometimes we're performing pieces of Liszt that are very rarely ever heard, and sometimes we're exposing the music of composers that are very little known. So, for instance, we have a presentation on the music of Karli Ághazi, who was one of Liszt's, well, really Liszt's favorite Hungarian student. And what we're going to hear now is written by a composer by the name of Ödön Mihálovics. Now, Mihálovics wrote a fantasy in C-sharp minor that will be performed. One of our, you know, very fine DMA student performers is doing that, and she told me she can't find a recording. I don't think a recording of this piece even exists. But it was played by Franz Liszt himself at the inauguration of the Academy of Music in Budapest. So Mihálovics was an important composer of his time. And in fact, he took over that position after Liszt. He was the second director of that academy. And he's you know, very much what we would call today a Wagnerian style. And there's a very kind of exalted feeling in this song that you'll appreciate. And it's something very contrasting with all the very energetic, you know, what we call Stil Angois, the Hungarian or Hungarian gypsy style in the Rhapsodies and the Csárdás.
In der Mondnacht, one of the six songs, I should say, by Ödön Mihálovics here on FM 91. That is a selection of my guest this afternoon, Matthew Bengtsson, who is assistant professor of music, pianist at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance, also the director of the 2021 American Liszt Society Festival, that is Franz Liszt, focusing on his Hungarian roots and legacies, as well as his music, and all of the music we're listening today, handpicked by Matthew Bengtsson. Matthew, you were telling me that there are a lot of distinguished panelists coming in and giving presentations on Franz Liszt. You want to give us a little sampling of what we can expect?
Sure. Well, musical performances are, of course, an important part of the festival, but they're by no means the only part. I mentioned there will be a presentation on how to dance the Csárdás. We have scholars, some of the most distinguished, Jonathan Bellman, who wrote a very important book on the Stil Angois and the music of Western Europe. There's Shai Loya, who wrote a very important book on, especially on the Hungarian Rhapsodies. It's called Liszt's Transcultural Modernism and the Hungarian Gypsy Tradition. Wow. And Lynn Hooker, who comes from Purdue University in Indiana, reconsidering Hungarian music from Liszt to Bartók. And she's actually going to be presenting together with the Romani musicians about, you know, what exactly is what we call gypsy music, what they're calling also gypsy music themselves, what instruments did they use, who are these people, under what circumstances did they play, and in what way did that capture people's imagination. Peter Locke is coming. He's an important author and scholar and program note writer. He's talking about Hungarian music just generally in its broader context. So we've got a lot of very interesting presentations.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been putting this together? I mean, is this something that that happens yearly, or what is the process for you in creating this festival?
Well, as so many other things these days, this particular festival is a bit of an exception. I was originally the director of the List Society Festival 2020, and I imagine even if you type in List 2020, it might redirect to the same website. Then I was the director of the festival that was supposed to have happened in May, and now I'm the director of the festival that is happening in October.
Well, obviously canceled because of the pandemic.
The pandemic, right, exactly. And there are, alas, a small number of presenters who were not able to make it, either for health reasons or more often travel restrictions.
Right.
They will be accessible via Zoom at the event, and their presentations will be there. So their presence will be very strongly felt. And almost all the events will be in person, which is, I mean, very exciting for all of us these days.
Well, I mean, you obviously spent a lot of time putting this together and drawing on some of the great minds. I mean, Franz Liszt is somebody who is absolutely 100% relevant today, because not only did he leave behind this fantastic body of music and had a big influence on other composers, he brought the music of other composers to the masses. You know, he did like all these transcriptions of opera melodies and things like that. So the people that couldn't get out and see a big orchestral concert could still hear it at the piano, you know, get a taste of what was going on the bigger stage at large. So, I mean, I'm sure you would agree that Liszt was one of the more important, if not one of the most important figures in 19th century music, yeah?
Oh, no question. He was an absolute giant of his time. And as you mentioned, he brought a lot of music to people that they could not process in any other way. I mean, we don't appreciate that anymore these days because it's so easy to find, it seems. But he was an extremely generous soul.
Yeah. Well, we both have our Spotify playlists on our phones,
yes.
Right? Wherever we go. Speaking of which, we're going to move on to the next piece of music that is on your playlist, Matthew. That is the Sextet in C Major. This is music of Ernst von Dohnányi, obviously not Franz Liszt, but still a Hungarian composer, a Hungarian-born composer. We're going to hear the final movement from the sextet. Why is this on the list?
We only just begin with Liszt and with Hungarian-style pieces, and then we branch out, especially on the last day. We have music of Bartok, of Kodály, of Dohnányi, and then more contemporary composers like Kortág and Ligeti and Fekete and Kocsár and, you know, Dubrovai, and composers that, you know, probably don't fall off the tongue so easily, but it's a great opportunity to get to know them. And I'm glad that you've chosen the final movement of the Dohnányi Sextet, which is just absolutely charm and tongue-in-cheek. And Dohnányi, as did Bartok, came to the U.S. At the end of his life, and there's some jazz influence in this as well.
We'll hear a performance from the Spectrum Concerts Berlin, music of Ernst von Dohnányi, from his Sextet in C Major, the finale, here on FM 91. The finale from the Sextet in C Major by Ernst von Dohnányi. We heard the Spectrum Concerts Berlin in that performance, one of the pieces on the Hungarian Liszt-themed playlist of Matthew Bengtsson, who is a pianist and on faculty at the University of Michigan, and for the purposes of this discussion, our resident expert on Franz Liszt and his Hungarian legacy, directing the American Liszt Society Festival. It's happening October 15th through 18th. I should say Matthew is directing the festival, not Liszt, although Liszt is sort of, you know, directing the festival from
In spirit, yes, and in history, sure.
In spirit and history. We're going to veer off a little bit to some other composers that are obviously related to Liszt, being Hungarian-born, but also who lived at a different time, perhaps. You were talking about, you know, the use of the phone as modern technology. In Liszt's time, the piano being cutting-edge technology. And somewhere in the middle sits Zoltán Kodály, who used the technology of his time to sort of capture, you know, the folk music.
What was going on?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Kodály.
Right, so Kodály and Bartók, both of them were what we would nowadays call ethnomusicologists. So they were studying what people out there in the world did with their music. They used an Edison cylinder device, you know, the kind of prototype for a record player, and went out and recorded people in the fields and the music that they would sing, and they did their best to notate it, and then they incorporated it into their own musical style, which they then combined with, you know, certain modernist idioms as well, to create their own unique and certainly very properly Hungarian style.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to hear this serenade, or hear from the serenade, the second movement here. This is music of Zoltán Kodály on FM 91. From the Serenade by Zoltán Kodály, we heard the second movement there, performed by Annika Fabian, Joseph Silverstein, and Paul Neubauer here on FM 91. Well, we have time for one more piece of music, and we're going to turn it over to Béla Bartók, another Hungarian composer you mentioned earlier. This is a piece called Contrasts, which he wrote for the great clarinetist Benny Goodman, right?
You know, that's right.
What's the story there?
Well, I mean, as far as our theme is concerned, the last movement is called Werbungos, which is that literally means a recruiting dance. Comes from, you know, Werbung in German. It's related etymologically. So yeah, Benny Goodman, of course, is known as a jazz pianist, but he was a very fine classical clarinetist. And this particular recording has the most star-studded cast you could want. It has Bartók himself at the piano, and it has Josef Szigeti playing the violin, who was Bartók's regular partner in chamber music, and then Benny Goodman himself playing the clarinet.
Music of Béla Bartók, we heard from his piece Contrasts, which he wrote for the great clarinet virtuoso Benny Goodman, who played it on that recording, joined by the composer himself at the piano, Béla Bartók, as well as Josef Szigeti performing that music here on FM 91. Well, that about wraps up our time today with Matthew Bengtsson, who is a pianist, also a professor at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance, and the director of the 2021 American Liszt Society Festival. You can find more information about this event, which lasts from October 15th through October 18th, that's Friday through Monday, at smtd.umich.edu. /LIST2021. That's smtd.umich.edu/list2021. Or you can do what I did and just type List Society Festival into Google, and you'll find the page there at the University of Michigan website. Matthew, I want to thank you so much for coming in, sharing some of this music with us, telling us about the festival. So much stuff going on. And congratulations on, you know, getting this done after the pandemic shut down the last couple of times that that you tried to make it happen. So best wishes for a successful festival, and thanks for coming on and telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.